Acts chapter 15 and verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so great between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Well, this is an interesting passage that we have at the end of this chapter, Acts 15. And it comes at the conclusion of a period of time when it seems that many things were going well in the church. There had been a dispute about the religious worship and practice of the new believers who were Gentiles, and whether or not they were obliged to come under the law of Moses and fulfill all of the ceremonial and ritual obligations of the Jews. And Peter and John and James, together with Paul and Barnabas and a large number of people, had debated this issue in Jerusalem and come to the conclusion that the Gentiles were free from these obligations. And we remember from last week that a letter was sent back with a man called Judas and Silas, together with Paul and Barnabas and a number of others who had travelled from Antioch to Jerusalem for the council or the conference. And these men all went back to Antioch with this good news about the decision of the apostles and the church at Jerusalem. And things seemed to be going well. We are told in the opening verse of our passage here, Luke tells us that Judas and Silas were preachers. And so here were another two preachers, or they're called prophets here, who were able to contribute to the growing church at Antioch and were able to help and minister to the people there. Just a little note about that word prophets. Sometimes we think about a prophet as one who foretells the future, but also a prophet is one who foretells, not just foretells, but foretells, declares and speaks. And in the context here, what it most likely means is that they were able interpreters of the Old Testament prophets. So they were able to take the Old Testament prophecies from Moses and from David and from Isaiah and the messages that had been given in the Old Testament times, which was the scriptures that the believers had at that time, and show how the Old Testament spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for a period of time, these two men, together with others, stayed and preached in Antioch. And later on, the church at Antioch said, well, you've done your job, you've served your purpose, you've helped the church, you've brought this message and the letter, you've supported our brethren here. If you would like, it's now time for you to go back to Jerusalem. And Judas headed back, perhaps to where his home was. But we discover that this man, Silas, decided that he would stay in Antioch. And this is the beginning of a period of time in which we come to know a little bit more about this man Silas. And it's perhaps the work of the Holy Spirit that showed him there was still work to be done here and work that he would be able to contribute to. We're told that Paul and Barnabas as well, they continued to preach, and that there were many others who were preaching there at Antioch as well. Perhaps some of those who were mentioned in chapter 13, verse 1, when Antioch began to be established as a centre for Christianity, men like Simeon and Lucius and Manaen. It may well be that Lucius there is Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. And so if that is correct, then he too was at Antioch at this time. And in verse 36, we're told that Paul desired to return and visit the churches that he had established during his first missionary journey. Now, let me just, if I can... there's Mr. Thomas Binney. Did I show you Thomas Binney's picture? I think I probably didn't, but there he is anyway. Let me see if I can show. So that was where the early church had been scattered to, and we see the Mediterranean with these different countries around about Asia and Cilicia, where Paul had gone in his first missionary journey. And that was the spread of the believers after the trouble in Jerusalem with the Jews. And then we discover that... Here we are, I'm sorry. There we are, that's the one I wanted. Then we discover that Paul and Barnabas went on what was called their first missionary journey. So here's how they did it. They went from Antioch, they went into Cyprus, they went up into Pamphylia. It was at Pamphylia that John Mark decided that he didn't want to go on the journey. Perhaps it was going to be too difficult, too rough. Perhaps he was too young. Perhaps he had some other issues that prevented him from being committed to the task. So at Pamphylia, he returned and went back to Jerusalem, which is just out of sight there down in the bottom right. And Paul and Barnabas had made that circular tour up around Antioch and Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and down to Derbe. And then they went back through those cities again on their way home and came back to Antioch. And now Paul says that he wants to return again, and he wants to go again to visit the churches. But there was a problem, because Barnabas, he wanted to take John Mark. John Mark was his nephew, of course, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them again, and Paul wasn't happy about this, because John Mark, having left them once and returned home, could well let them down again, and this appears to be the apostles' view. And we're told that the contention was so sharp that Paul and Barnabas departed asunder. And that seems a very sad outcome for a not very great matter. These are men who had walked shoulder to shoulder for many years. They had labored in Antioch together for years. They had contended together against troublemakers who sought to undermine the gospel. They had traveled together in very dangerous places where they had been assaulted and abused. And now, over the head of this issue, it seems as if they had a contention that could not be resolved. And from this, we learn that men, even the best of men, are simply men. The great doctrinal principles had been settled, and yet the passions of men's temper ran high, and separation and division followed. And it's always sad when there is unnecessary falling out. And I don't know whether there's blame on both sides or one side has to be blamed or not. But we have no record that these two men, Paul and Barnabas, ever made up again, or even if they ever met again. And that shows us, I think, that we must always be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and not putting too much trust in other things. Because even the best men make mistakes and let their tempers cause trouble. But the Lord Jesus Christ is always faithful, always true, and always kind to his people. And so we see that if we look at this map 2 again, we see that there was division. And that little one there beside Antioch, down in the sort of right-hand side of the map there, shows that Barnabas and John Mark headed for Cyprus. But the Apostle Paul and Silas, they went north up into Cilicia, and they went round. You remember we talked about the Cilician gates and how that from Derbe on his first missionary journey, Paul would have been able to go back to Antioch very, very quickly. Just perhaps, I think we said a bit over 100 miles or so. Relatively easy journey to go from Derbe to Antioch. But Paul and Barnabas had gone all the way back round again and taken the long way home, as it were. Well, now, instead of heading to Cyprus, where John Mark and Barnabas were going, they went north into Cilicia and headed in to begin the missionary journey, what's called the second missionary journey. And we may not be able to show this map again in future weeks. So let's just take a moment and see where that went to. They went to Derbe, they headed up to Lystra, back into Antioch and Pisidia, again Iconium's there, and that was the three little towns, Iconium, Lystra and Derbe, together at the head of that arrow. And then they went up through Phrygia and to Troas. And then we'll discover as we listen to the story that there was a change made. Instead of dropping back down south and heading back, there was an extension made. And Paul went over into Macedonia and then down through Greece and to Corinth and then ultimately back to Ephesus before heading back to Jerusalem again on that big arrow 7. So while the initial plan was to go and visit the churches that had been established during the first missionary journey, in fact, that had a little bit of a dog leg in it, and there were more churches visited during this journey. This time, of course, with Silas and not with Barnabas. But there we are. That's the picture of the map, as it were. But I just wanted to leave a couple of thoughts with you, and it's this: that even although these men had fallen out, I wonder if we can't draw some good things from this argument as well. Because the Holy Spirit overruled even the failings of these men in order to extend the work of the gospel. For now there were two missionary endeavors underway. We don't know very much about that one concerning Barnabas and John Mark, because Luke went with Paul. He was part of the group that traveled with Paul and Silas. Perhaps not immediately, but later in the journey he comes and he meets up with them. And also the gospel is going forward in different places at that time, despite the weaknesses of men and women. And I think we should take great comfort in this, that even the problems and the difficulties that afflict and affect, and even we could say damage the church in the short term, are used by God the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish his greater purpose and the greater good of his church and people. And there is a little postscript to this, a little PS. If you see PS at the bottom of a letter or a note, it's to say that, oh, there's something else that I want to mention just at the very end. And there's a little postscript to this story. Because while we do not hear any more of Barnabas, that's Barnabas goes off the scene now, and we don't hear any more of this fine preacher of the gospel. we do hear a little bit more about John Mark, over whom this division took place. He grew up, as young people do, and perhaps Paul was a little bit too quick in dismissing John Mark, but we don't know exactly what his reasons were. But John grew up, and he matured into a faithful minister in his own right. And we do know that he and Paul became good friends in later years, and indeed co-workers together in later years. He was with Paul during the apostles' first imprisonment in Rome. Some of us who have been listening to the Wednesday night sermons know about that imprisonment, and John Mark was there with the apostle in Rome. He was part of that entourage. And we read about that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. And during another period of imprisonment that Paul had, he wrote a letter to another young man called Timothy. And he says in his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." We think that's the Lucius that was at Antioch as well and who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. He says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark," that's John Mark, "and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And I think that's lovely. That reconciliation and the fact that the Apostle Paul could testify in later years that John Mark was profitable to him for the ministry is something worth knowing and noting. Sometimes when we are young, we make mistakes. We all make mistakes, old and young. But sometimes when we are young and we make those mistakes, we let people down and we cause trouble and we cause offence, and maybe we even cause division. Division in family, division amongst friends. But sometimes when you're young, you don't have a perspective on these things. And this is true, that time heals. And forgiveness is always to be sought. And reconciliation is desirable. So we should seek to have that experience of forgiveness and to be reconciled to those whom we have hurt and perhaps who have hurt us. And to remember this, that if the Lord Jesus Christ loved and has forgiven us, then we ought to love and forgive one another. And so here's a nice story, a good story, that comes out of perhaps an unfortunate incident of this division and the breakup of Saul or Paul and Barnabas. So thank you very much for listening.